The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, it's the end of 2020. Are we sad to see the end of this year? I don't think so. I wanted to do a review of 2020. Do you think it's worth it?
Absolutely.
Is there anything to talk about?
Well, you know what? There's one big topic. You know, I think that Time's Person of the Year would be the coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would summarize 2020 in three words. Elections and corona. that's kind of what the world has been for Israel. And I'll tell you what the really sad thing is. The really sad thing is that we're leaving 2020 and going into 2021 with elections and corona. And that's what we have on the horizon as well, because even though Israel continues to keep up the pace of vaccinating people, apparently already one-third of Israelis over the age of 60 have already received their first vaccination. So that's the pace of a vaccination that's going on in Israel. Some people say that this is potentially Prime Minister Netanyahu's white rabbit, the corona vaccination. I think he's really putting all of his eggs into this basket and hoping that it might well somehow rescue him from what I think is a relatively tough situation for him moving into the March election. But really the whole focus at the moment is on getting people vaccinated, tens of thousands a day, moving through the vaccine centers, queues at hospitals. I've been told people lining up, literally turning up without an appointment and hoping to line up and get vaccinated. In most cases, people are being encouraged to make appointments first. I know that massive vaccination centers have opened up across the country. Unfortunately, there have already been two cases of people who've reacted negatively to the vaccination and actually died as a result of being vaccinated. I'm not quite sure if we're really attributing their deaths directly to their receipt of the vaccination. At least in one case, the person was not well to begin with, and happened to die soon after receiving the vaccination. So it's a difficult one to call. But as a general rule, people have been vaccinated quite without any real effects.
How many people has Israel vaccinated?
Well, the day before yesterday, they celebrated Mr. 500,000 in terms of vaccination. So more than 500,000 people vaccinated already. We'll probably be moving into more than 1 million people during the course of next week. You know, a few stories that come out of this, the vaccinations that had to be thrown away because they weren't kept properly refrigerated. We know that this particular vaccination is very, very temperature sensitive. Needs to be kept in minus 70 degrees, and then it can be kept in minus 10 degrees, I think, for a few hours while it gets transported around. So it does certainly have a temperature sensitivity. But we also have seen other vaccinations approved during the course of the last week, which Israel doesn't have or doesn't have access to at the moment. The AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine was approved yesterday in the UK, so there will be attempts to roll it out, and I'm sure that they won't be selling much of that outside of the UK. Apparently, I'm told they're having problems getting the vaccination, getting enough people to put the vaccine into the glass vial that is needed in order to distribute it. So that's really where the bottleneck for the AstraZeneca Oxford virus vaccine is at the moment. But anyway, you know, the focus is definitely on people getting vaccinated. And I think the Prime Minister is hoping that come 2 or 3 months from now, once people have received the second vaccination, and that there will be greater immunity and hopefully less virus infection than is the case at the moment. Because what we're seeing right now is really that the impact of the virus spread is a lot greater than the impact of the vaccination that's being administered. And in fact, the coronavirus commission has come out saying that whatever we're doing at the moment in terms of the third lockdown is not enough. The numbers are not coming down quickly enough. He originally warned that the 2 weeks that the government set aside for this lockdown will not be enough. He thought that 4 weeks would be the minimum. Now they're talking about potentially even longer than that. So I think we've got to certainly get through this particular lockdown and the effects of it before we're going to see any impact from the whole vaccination program. But certainly that's what the whole focus has been over the past week or two.
You've got your vaccination coming up on Sunday. How do you feel about it?
So it's been moved a little bit. It'll be on Tuesday rather than on Sunday. How do I feel about it? I think I'm just going to do it like any other vaccination. I haven't really sat back and thought, you know, like a lot of people had been prevaricating about the fact that, you know, they're concerned that that vaccination hasn't really had enough track record for people to really understand what the longer term effects are. And to be fair, those longer term effects won't be really felt for the longer term. I mean, when we say longer term, we mean probably a year plus
in the future,
to see what. So either you've got to say, look, I'm going to bite the bullet and I'm going to hope that those longer term effects are either not going to materialize or they won't affect me, or you're going to fall into the anti-vax camp effectively, which says, not that I'm necessarily an anti-vaxxer, but I'm nervous about this particular vaccine because it doesn't have much of a track record. But I think we're in a situation where we've kind of got to bite the bullet and just do it. I mean, you know, this is, I suppose, an individual decision. If you don't get vaccinated, I don't think that you can affect the health of other people. I think it's just your own decision for you. I mean, in my particular case, I've decided I will be vaccinated and I will just do it. And I'm not going to give it too much thought or feel nervous about it. I'm not particularly scared of needles and, you know, it'll be done. It'll be a little bit sore, whatever. It's, you know, a little stiff afterwards. I don't know what the short-term feelings of it. In the most part, from what I've heard of, from other people who've been vaccinated, it's just kind of, you know, another day in the office, not a big deal at all. So I will be vaccinated here now, not on Sunday, but rather on Tuesday now. But I think it's fine. I mean, I'm hoping that this will somehow lead to release of what has been a very, very tough year and a tough situation for all of us, not only in Israel, but indeed around the world. I'm hoping that economically things will get back onto a footing. Process of locking people down and the virus impact has had a massively devastating effect on the Israeli economy and especially on the small business person. So many sad stories about people whose businesses have simply collapsed for one reason or another, people who don't have the incentive to reopen their businesses or to go back to work because the money that they're getting from the government handouts at the moment are better than they would get if they had to go back to work. So that's really not a good incentive at all because we do want people to get back to work. So I think that 2021 is going to be fascinating in terms of how we emerge from all of this and what our economy will look like, how many people will survive. A lot of the restaurants have just disappeared. Which will be the new restaurants? What will be the lie of the land beyond the coronavirus situation? I think that that's going to be fascinating and potentially is quite exciting because I think it gives an opportunity for those people with a bit of creativity and a few good ideas to start at ground zero, where the competition perhaps is not quite as tough, and you know, people with some good ideas could potentially do well from this.
Amazing. Let's talk about your elections.
Let's talk about the elections because I've been wanting to talk about politics all week, Kathy, and I know you've been avoiding it. I've noticed it.
Because it's just the same old, same old. Anthony, we've had this conversation four times.
Yeah, it's sort of not the same old though, because what we're seeing, one of the things that's really frustrating for me in this pre-election period is that we're seeing a lot of politicians creating their new own political parties. This for me is a source of massive frustration because it simply splits the vote. And so we see people like Gideon Saar, who's really the main kind of protagonist at the moment, left the Likud along with Ze'ev Elkin, two really stalwart Likudniks. They've left the Likud. They've started this new party called Tikva Chadasha, New Hope. It all, you know, the name says it all. But really, this is Likud in another guise. This is Likud without Prime Minister Netanyahu. That's really what it's about. And we can't pretend that it's any different. And ultimately, it's not going to be different. In other words, once Netanyahu leaves the Likud, which eventually at some point he's going to be forced to do or he will do, then Tikva Chadasha will not exist in the way that we see it at the moment. This is just kind of a temporary arrangement in order to try to unseat Netanyahu from the Likud. And I get that. I do understand that. But it simply splits the vote. And again, we've got Tel Aviv Yafo mayor Ron Huldai formed his own political party, the Israelis. That's what he's called, this political party, the Israelis. And he's attracted some former generals from the army. And again, it just splits the vote. And when I say split the vote, I mean what happens is that potentially Tikva Chadasha might be able to garner, I don't know, they're talking about potentially getting 18 seats. But it might be 18 and a quarter. They might get enough votes for another quarter seat. And that quarter might be lost because they can't get a full seat. And then another party might get, you know, also another quarter. And when those quarters all get added together, that potentially becomes another seat. And that seat is extremely valuable when you're trying to get past the 61 hurdle in order to form a government, 61 members of Knesset to form a majority government. And so the opinion polls are saying right now that the Likud is still likely to be the largest party in the Knesset. Something like 28 seats is what the opinion polls are predicting. And even though they will be the largest party in the Knesset from what we see at the moment, there is the possibility that the anti-Netanyahu parties, which are now fairly disparate, there are four or five of them that have been, you know, been formed over the years and are now operating, they could potentially get together and form a government, get the necessary 61 seats that they need to form a government without involving the Likud and without involving the ultra-Orthodox parties. If that happens, then we're into an absolutely new lie of the land if they succeed in doing that. So at the moment, I'm quite skeptical about the formation of all of these new parties. But if indeed they prove me wrong and they are able to somehow form a government without the Likud and without the ultra-Orthodox parties, then this whole exercise would have been worthwhile. I then predict that Prime Minister Netanyahu will simply disappear off somewhere and that all of these Likud-looking parties will go back into the Likud afterwards at some point once, you know, the leadership issue has been resolved. In the meantime, however, we see the Kahol Lavan party of Benny Gantz absolutely being devastated. People leaving all the time to join the other parties. The opinion polls currently suggest that he might get 4 seats in the next election. That would be really devastating for him, considering how well he performed in the previous election. It's just quite unbelievable. That would be a big surprise. Although people, I don't think, would be hugely surprised given, you know, the way that things look at the moment. So he's definitely going to be one of the biggest losers, but I have no doubt that he would join up with the anti-Netanyahu right-wing bloc to somehow try to unseat the prime minister. So they're going to be the big losers. The Labour Party is really nowhere to be seen. They are one of the real, founding pillars of the Israeli society. They are absolutely nowhere. So it's going to be a very, very fascinating election this time around and potentially one that will be a little different from the ones that we've had in the past, because you're right, we are tired of elections, no doubt. But if this brings on a change and a new government and a new approach, then it would be very welcome indeed.
Anthony, Clive wants to know from you, are the rest of your family also having the vaccine on Tuesday?
So not everybody in my family is having the vaccine on Tuesday. I have a son who is studying in the medical field, and he's already received a vaccination through his studies. The other members of my family, unfortunately, don't yet fall into the group that are currently being vaccinated. I happen to be falling into what's known as a high-risk group, and so I have some a preference to get a vaccine a little earlier than the others. But I'm expecting that by the end of March or thereabouts, everybody will have the opportunity to go and be vaccinated. And in fact, we're seeing right now people turning up at the hospitals uninvited just because they want to be vaccinated, even though they might not fall into the high-risk categories. And I don't think that they're being turned away. I think people who just turn up will ultimately have to queue up outside and wait their turn. But I think that they will have the opportunity to be vaccinated. I've heard of some stories of people really fighting to get the vaccination. So Amazing. There is an attempt to try to do it in an orderly fashion to get the higher risk groups vaccinated first. But my family at the moment, we're going to be half and a half, at least for the foreseeable future.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it. Your last bulletin for 2020. We will catch
another year goes by
in 2021.
Let's hope that the new year, the Shana Ezrachit, as we call it in Hebrew, Shana Tova Ezrachit, because to distinguish from Shana Tova, which is a traditional Rosh Hashanah. So I wish that everybody will have a good, safe, healthy, and successful 2021, that we'll go on to talk about some interesting things. People will still find the time and the effort to join us. And I'm looking forward to that. So I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a great weekend. And I will see you on the other side of the new year.
Thank you so much, Anthony Reich. God bless, and to you and your family and all of our Israeli listeners as well.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.